say. So, all right, well, my name is Sarah Thomas, and I am based in Asheville, North Carolina, and I'm an acupuncturist and a teacher of stone medicine, and I'm really lucky to be a part of a lineage called the Jade Purity Lineage, which is a Taoist lineage of stone medicine. And Taoism is a philosophy out of China. It's not a religion, it's a philosophy. And the philosophy is that we are all one. And the philosophy is that nature is the guide. Nature is where we gather our wisdom. So that's it. So many of you are Taoists. Now, taking Taoism seriously is taking oneness seriously and taking this connection to nature as portal seriously. I'm going to throw in one more layer. Our body is our nature. Our body is the nature that we carry. So our body is as natural as a squirrel's body or a lion's body or a plant's body. So another aspect of Taoism is this bow to the body. And this understanding that there's only one thing in this world that will never lie to you, and that is your body. One thing in this world that will never lie. Just impeccable integrity from that space. And these are some aspects of the lineage of this ancient knowledge that is about to come through. This is a very rare body of knowledge, so you're going to learn things about stones today that you have never heard before, most likely, and then what you do is you just mix it in with what you already know about stones. This goes back to some ancient texts that are texts like Sun Simao's 1,000 prescriptions worth 1,000 pieces of gold. The Shennong Benkao, which is the Divine Farmer's Classic, and these texts are all very old. So what would happen is these Taoist adepts would walk in nature for their entire lives and meditate in nature, and they had real relationships with plants and stones. And then many of these people would wait a long time to actually write. Like Sun Simao was a very prolific writer, but he waited until he was about 70 to put his material into form. And now some of these books have, you know, tons of prescriptions of how to work with stones and how to work with stones and plants as well, and how to marry them together. So, my teacher is an 88th generation Taoist priest. His name is Jeffrey Yuen, and he is like one of the first people, actually he's the first person to ever let this information loose on the public, because it was a really, it's like a secret, beautiful, stored ancient record that has been traveling 88 generations through an oral tradition in his family until he trusted humanity enough to share it with us, and that is his Tao and his life's work. So what's happening now, too, is that we have access to this ancient information, this really special ancient wisdom. And then what's happening now is we are mixing it with a fifth dimensional frequency. So what is happening is just has never happened before. To take this deep ancient wisdom from these grandmothers and grandfathers and mix it with a fifth dimensional frequency. We have energy available to us that has never been available before on this earth. So you'll see that what happens in this is we're like weaving the ancient with the new. Okay. This class is called Stones for the Holographic Home. And what that means is another aspect of Taoism is that everything is holographic. So the holographic principle is very alive in Taoism. So that means that our body is a perfect mirror of the earth. And every other thing that you can think of is a hologram for everything else. So in fact, even my ear is a hologram for my entire body. So I can treat acupuncture the entire body just by treating the ear. So this holographic principle is really alive in Taoism. And the class is called Stones for the Holographic Home because I knew the theme of this thing was called Hearts, Hands, and Home or something, so I just wanted to put the word home in it. It's like writing class descriptions is kind of funny, but what this is really about is that the spaces that we are working are holograms for ourselves. So this is about space. This is about awakening as a place. Did you know that awakening could be a place? Isn't that cool? You're like, yes, we know that. So awakening as place, that's what this really is. So there are so many directions to go with this, but let me just start with by saying that as healers, you know, when I walk into my treatment room every morning and I take the sheets off the bed and I put the new sheets on the bed and I spray some rose spray and, you know, I put the new pillowcase on and I set up the warming lamp and I walk out of the door and I wait for my first patient, that setting up of the space is a hologram for my entire job. That is my entire purpose, is to create a space that somebody can walk into and heal themselves in. So I am creating a space for someone to walk into and heal themselves in. I cannot heal these people. So that was a trick, that was a game, that was an illusion, that if I could find the right points, I could heal this person. So that road of I can fix this is the road of burnout. That road of if I get this right, this person will heal. That it's the level of the mind. Hello. What is really happening is that when the person walks into the space, and you guys know this as healers, they are making a choice whether or not they're going to heal. And I'm sitting there just holding space. I'm just holding space for what they decide. You guys know this. You've had patients, you've had friends that as soon as they step into the space, they're healing. They're creating these incredible treatments. I mean, my patients are creating the treatments. I'm not creating the treatments. Like, why is it that I will see a patient and I'm like, holy crap, we just like pulled in Archangel Michael and there's like this incredible sunstone grid on them and I have like the most incredible treatment I've ever seen and all the Palo Santo smoke is blowing. It's like the incredible music is playing. It is like the ceremony of all ceremonies. And I look at them and I'm like, look at what you created. Like, they're creating it. Why is it that some patients call forth an 8 extraordinary treatment every time they come in, which is a soul level treatment? Whereas other patients come in and they're calling forth like, you know, like I just have a cold or like treat like the fungus on my foot or whatever. It's not good or bad. It's just that the patients are creating the treatments. I'm just sitting there holding space. So I'm in awe of them. So understand that too. Like, take yourself off the hook. You didn't create the treatment. Your patient attracted that treatment and created it. So if it's like, if you're like, well, that treatment was kind of weird, it's just because they're weird. So it's okay. All right. So the people are coming into the space. They're making a choice whether or not they're going to heal themselves. So I am left to just have really nice sheets and like a really nice pillow and understand how to sit there and be quiet. Understand how to sit there and witness and be quiet and let their process unfold. Not being attached to the outcome is probably the biggest gift that you can give someone. And you guys know that when you start trying to fix, and I still do this every day, every week, I mean, because it is so seductive. It is so tempting to try to fix someone. It is so seductive. I mean, they'll say things that I'm like, oh my God, I know exactly what to do for that. So let me just start talking about supplements and herbs. And just like go down the line of the mind and like start fixing. But as soon as you start to fix, and I want you to notice this, as soon as you start to fix, you lose connection with the patient. You lose a little bit of connection with the patient. As soon as you stop trying to fix and you just start hanging out with them again, they start healing again. You maybe have experienced that. Like, you've been on this road with someone trying to fix them and fix them, and then all of a sudden you both just let it go and just start hanging out again, and then they start healing. I had that with a woman this year, and it was just like her hot flashes were so bad, and it was just like every week she came in, she was like, they were better for like one day, and they were so bad again. And it was so seductive because I have so many tricks up my sleeve for that. I mean, that is like, you know, women's health. It's like, I was like, let's try this. And it was just like, we were just in pain. You know, we just like lost connection for months because we were just trying to fix her hot flashes. It's like, I took that one day and just threw that out the window. And then we started hanging out again and talking about like her garden and her kids, and like healing started happening again. Okay. So here I am saying, like, well, now all we have to do is create a space. So we're creating a space. And then you're like, oh, wow, you're off the hook. You're creating a space. And also, I want to just throw in there, the key to abundance is to actually use your consciousness to access the people that need that consciousness. So that is like marketing just went, whoosh, throw that out the window too. It's like you use your consciousness as a channel to find people who need to find that consciousness. You understand? So it's like everything else is gone. Your intention is to say, my consciousness has certain people out there that need to meet this consciousness, and just open those channels. Just open that channel. Just focus on that. Put your intention work on that. But your consciousness is a channel that is going to pull the right people in that need to see you for your consciousness, not what you do. And that is the key to abundance. Okay, that was a side note. So then I realized, like, and what has been a really exciting thing to understand is that there is a way to make the space that you are inviting people into a very high field. So look at that. You get to do that too. You get to make your space a very high field of consciousness. So now when that person walks in, they're like, whew, I'm in a very high field of consciousness. So whatever their choice is for healing, it just gets like mega pumped, amplified, like every color of the rainbow light in and out of that person. So again, it's their choice. But if you can raise the consciousness of the space that you're in, and there's so many, this is a huge topic, how to raise the consciousness of the space. So now it's not just that I put on a good pillow and a good blanket and I had my nice rose spray, and like comfort is so huge. So please take care of that level. Like, so huge. I mean, please do not ever give anyone a treatment where they're laying there cold. Like, you have to have like the blankets, you have to have the nurturing, like get in there with that comfort, like so good. The eye pillow, like the best, like make it so yummy on that layer of the body. And then once you have all that, the person feeling so good, just in the body, safe, warm, all of that stuff, then let's start working on the vibration of the field. This is something else you can do. And I think that's what this class is about. Working on the vibration of the field. So, there is this thing that is called gridding. And what many of our minds go to is like a crystal grid. So something like this, where we are taking stones and we're setting them up in some kind of pattern. And I want to talk about that a little bit. Like, how do we use stones to raise the vibrational field of the space that you are in, whether it is your treatment room or your home or your sweat lodge or where you do your shamanic journeys or where you do your ceremonies. So whatever space that you want to raise the vibration of, I want to talk about, like, how do we use stones to raise the vibration of those spaces? Okay. So there's a thing called a crystal grid, and whatever comes to your mind about that is perfect. So you've probably seen pictures and everything of stones set up in a grid, right? And then you've probably seen pictures of like megalithic sites, like stones set up in a grid. Things like Newgrange, all of the megalithic sites everywhere. There's thousands and thousands of megalithic sites around the world. So, and the largest crystal grid, possibly the largest crystal grid in existence, is that they are finding that the galaxies themselves are arranged in an octahedral lattice. That's a pretty big crystal grid. So, grids are, let's break down, you know, what is this whole grid thing really? And grids are relationships. So that's what it is. Because this is such a broad topic, like what is a grid? I mean, honestly, it goes from everything from a megalithic site to what I just put on the floor. And the way to encapsulate all of it is just to know that grids are relationships. So what has happened is you've created relationships between the stones and the crystals or the plants. You know, a lot of people put plants and moss and other kinds of materials in their grids. You can put anything in a grid. But what you did was you just created relationships between the objects in the grid. Now, what's really cool is that, do you know what life is? It's relationships. Life is relationships. In fact, life could not ever exist if there wasn't relationships. Do you know that there was just Source, and Source was sitting there? Source, God, whatever you want to call it, and there was Source, and it was sitting there. And the only way to know itself was to create a relationship. So it created a relationship, and that created life. So life is relationships. So literally, there is not a liver without a spleen. Literally, there is not a spleen without a kidney. Like, literally, they do not exist. The only thing that exists between them is the relationship between them. That is how this works. I don't exist without my relationships to the people in my life. I don't exist, really. It's like relationships create life. So if you ask someone, how is your life? What they are answering you is how their relationships are. So let's pretend I ask you, how's your life? And you were like, meh. What you just answered is how your relationships are. It is a perfect hologram. Now, if I said, how is your life? And you're like, it is the most like juicy, alive, I am so happy, I never want it to end. That is an answer of how your relationships are. Okay, so your world is basically a relationship grid. And it's like, so maybe you have some relationships that are, you know, you haven't talked in 20 years and that still kind of hurts. So there's no blood flowing between you and that person. And then perhaps you have this relationship with your beloved that is like the sweetest exchange ever. There's a lot of blood flowing in that relationship. And then perhaps you have like five friends over here that's pretty sweet and there's blood flowing back and forth in there. And if you look at all of your relationships and you look at the amount of blood flowing in all of the relationships, that is your awakened state. That is your awakening. See all the holograms? So the more blood you have in your relationships, the more blood you have moving in your relationships, the more awakened you are. Woo! That's big stuff. So not only do you improve the joy and aliveness and the blood of your life by having restored relationships, you also create awakening in yourself by having relationships. If you have like a parent or something that it really is not good for you to be around them and you really have separated yourself and that's really a good thing for you, or a friend or anything, you can still surge blood in and out of that relationship. Or if they've passed away, you can still start surging the blood in and out of that relationship with ceremony work, with forgiveness work, with creating a grid to that person, having a picture of that person and just putting the crystals on the picture. So just know that there, you don't have one relationship that has lost hope, because you can always work in the relationship with your own self in your own way. So you can work with the forgiveness state. There's always more forgiveness to do. No matter how forgived you think you are, there's always more forgiveness work to do. All right. So relationships are awakening. Life is relationships, and grids are relationships. So as you work with grids, you actually are, you are working with your life, and you are working with your awakening, and you're working with your relationships as you work with grids. So you'll see that as you start to work with them, like, they are holograms for what is going on with you. They are holograms. So if you, this is how a mesa works in shamanic medicine. They have their group of stones, which is called their mesa. So they have this group of stones, and it's so special to them, and it's so important, and it sits in this special place. And it is like a voodoo doll. It is like a exact hologram for their life. So if they take one stone and move it over here, you better know that that is going to change in your life, you know? Now, what created that grid to be so powerful? Their relationship with the grid. So, if I don't have a very cultivated relationship with grids, they might have like a little bit less like holographic resonance in my 3D world. But as I extend a lot, like a relationship, so the more that you play with this and the more that you build a relationship with it, the more that you'll see that this is like a control panel for your life. Have we not seen the power of grids? Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Would you tell us one Chrisicola shit that happens. This is Asia.
I was in class with Sarah last summer, and one of our final projects was to make a poster, and my poster was shit that can happen when you make a Chrisicola grid. I made a Chrisicola grid, and all this shit happened. I made this grid and like literally everything fell apart. Like me and my partner broke up, my landlord asked me to move out. I lost my voice. The first time ever. This all happened in like this trifecta of like 2 weeks after I made the grid. So shit can happen.
Shit that happens when you make a crystal grid. Thank you for being a shining example of the power of grids. Asia. All right, so what's happening is we're moving into, like, more power, you guys. We're moving into more power. It's like we will have these lessons in power. We're moving into power. It's like we're getting our magic back. These are magic practices that are coming back. So. Let's talk about the divinization of space. And so one of my teachers talks about geomancy being, geomancy is basically to divine the earth or to learn or know the earth's secrets. So geomancy is like, oh, I got out there and I started learning the earth's secrets. So people walk around with dowsing rods, whatever, to find the water in the earth, to find the silica in the earth. And what my teacher has shared is that instead of divining the earth and learning its secrets, we can now move to divinization of earth. And divinization means not just to sit and learn the earth's secrets like you're reading a book, but to actually make the space holy. Divinization is to make it holy. And this goes a little bit beyond, like, you know, just finding banker lines and curry lines and correcting things for a home in that way. It goes on to saying, like, I'm actually going to make this space a holy space by my presence. So if one conscious person walks into a space with consciousness and their intention is to make the space holy with what is holy in them, we start having a relationship with the land and the landscape that can actually, like, what we're trying to do here is create a new earth. So we're trying to, like, open our eyes and see a whole new civilization. And that is our destiny. Divinization of land or making a place holy is a big part of this. In fact, it's kind of like my life's work and kind of like Asia's life's work. And I think a lot of people's life's work is like, how do we say to this land space, the earth consciousness, the Gaia mother, say, like, you are holy and I'm holy because I'm here. And then you just like go, because this planet is, you know, certain planets don't have as much attachment to the humans that are on them. So like the humans could awaken without the planet, or the planet could awaken without the humans. But us here, we are just like this, like we're not going anywhere without her and she's not going anywhere without us. So we need the space, the land, the trees, the stones, everything to know that they are holy again by really conscious people walking in that space. So we're moving geomancy, we're moving it into divinization of space, into making space holy and allowing space to make us holy. And in a practical way, let's talk about grids in this way. So if I was going to be like, I'm going to make the earth holy, and just walk around in general, like my consciousness field or what I radiate would just have no container on it at all. It would just like fly all over the planet and so like maybe diffuse a little bit. So what is cool is if you take and you create a boundary. So if you create a container and you say, I want to work in this space, this is the container I want to work in. So you might start with a certain forest, or you might start with your home, or you might start, first understanding, like, well, let's create a container. Like, maybe it's my healing room. And this is like the first application of a grid, is to create a container for a space so that you can say, you know, this is the edge of this consciousness field. This is the field that I want to play in. This is the field that I want to raise the space, not just diffuse forever into infinity. So bringing this to practical, how do we create a grid container boundary on a space so that we can work in that space? What I would do is to start with the four corners of the space. Find the four corners of the space that you want to work in. And so let's pretend you're doing this on your land. You will find the four corners of your land by looking at a survey map, or you can just say, you know what, I feel this. Like, I feel like, even though that's technically my neighbor's yard, I feel this is my space. Like, this is the space. So, you know. You might feel the boundaries a little bit different than, like, the county did. So you find your space. And people ask me this in grid classes all the time. They're like, well, what is, you know, that we'll be looking at a survey map, and they'll be like, well, but what is the four corners? And getting really, really you know, mental about that investigation, and that's totally fine, but you don't have to. You can be like what is beautiful actually is to be like, well, that tree feels like the space holder of that corner, or that huge rock feels like the space holder of that corner. Like, get in touch with what's actually going on in the land and find your four corners and use trees, because trees, you know, they ground in so much energy and they actually radiate so much energy. So if I'm doing grid work on my place or someone else, I'm definitely following the trees to see where first these four corners will be, and then I can also follow, if you have like big rocks, you can follow big rocks for sure too. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Now say you're like, wait a minute, this really feels like the edge of the space, but there's no tree, and there's no like big rock or anything. So then you go get a monster rock. Yeah. You go get it, and you get it from, like, the area around, or you can get it from the forest. You can walk into the forest, and you can talk with the rocks there. And we were telling in our class, you know, like, all stones have a soul, and anything that has a soul has a destiny. So that means that if this rock has been living in this forest for 50 million years, and you come along, and you're like, I'm going to change your destiny forever, and you're going to be living in, like, the corner of my land forever now, more, and it had sat in that space communing with those beings for that long, and then you're like, oh my God, well, who am I to change this being's destiny this much? And that moment of reverence, that moment of stop and be like, holy shit, this is huge. That's the reverence that soul needed, and know that if you take the stone, know that that was its destiny. You cannot alter a destiny in a wrong way. There's a protection on that. So you got this mega rock, and this vibrational application of stone medicine is the vibrational application. There's three applications of stone medicine. One is elixir, that's anything you put in the body. One is poultice, that's anything you put on the body. And one is vibrational, and that's anything that you put around the body. So everything we're talking about today is this vibrational application of stone medicine. So we're placing stones all around the body.
Could you say that again?
Sure. Elixir is anything you put in the body. Poultice is anything you put on the body. And vibrational is anything you put around the body. In the vibrational application of stone medicine, it's actually the only application of stone medicine where size matters. So you can have a tiny chip of watermelon tourmaline and 10 gallons of water, and the frequency will radiate throughout the water immediately and effortlessly. So size does not matter. An elixir or poultice, you can have a tiny little piece of jewelry on and it will be radiating frequency for you. But when you go to this vibrational application, the larger the stone, the better. I mean, considering if you want a large, strong field, the larger the better. You might want a tiny field. So then you get these stones from nature and you start like kind of putting them in a big pile and you carry as many as you can and you just keep telling your husband or wife, like, don't worry, I know this is weird. And you'll get a lot of, you know, people looking at you out the window like she is really getting really witchy these days. And then you have your four corners, right? And now I want you to think about the eight directions. So then you go in and you'd be like, well, wait, so now I have the four, so what would be the other four? And again, like, listen to the land, let it be a little bit fluid. You feel like you got your eight spaces. And please remember, everything I'm talking about can just be done in a room, too, especially if you have a room that you do ceremony in or a room that you do healing in. It is, like, a huge miss to not have the space gridded because it's just so helpful, especially ceremony work. Like, especially high vibration work, you have to have grids set up in the space, in my opinion. And then just one level down from that healing work, like, it's, you don't want to miss that. They are, I have not gone in the compass directions at all. I'm just like, you find the four places that are the four corners, and then you find the eight spaces after that. So, yeah. Good question.
And the eight spaces not necessarily on the boundaries, but could be parts inside your space.
Well, they're on the energetic boundaries. And then you have this eight spaces set up, and you can go into nature and find what you need to create these spaces, and or you can go to the stone store, right? So you just find your stones. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I missed how we got to eight spaces.
Once you have your four spots, then I want you to create your eight spots. Do you know what I mean? Add four more. So it's like we had north, south, east, west, and now we're adding northwest, southwest, east, west. Yes. So there's eight total spots. Now there's eight total points. Yes. And now you have these eight spots, so that's really exciting. You're starting to feel really good, and you're starting to feel like this is the space that I get to command. And then here's the special part. You get to put the center space. So the center space is the ninth space. Nine represents completion in Chinese medicine. It represents God itself. It represents coming into full home, full completion, full God. Nothing is missing. That is the center, and so it is. Yes?
This is going to sound kind of egotistical, but could you be the ninth space? Could you be?
Nobody's ever asked me that before. I think you could be the ninth space. Yeah. Yeah, feel into that if you feel like you want to hold the energy of the ninth space. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound egotistical at all, but I know what you mean. So you have the center space now. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the center space. So this space is representing home. It's representing God. It's representing, when I say home, I mean home with a capital H. Like you've come home. To God, in yourself, full realization. And what happens a lot with this space, which is cool, is that you can use this space like a control panel or a voodoo doll or like a space that has all of the other eight points represented in the center. So say your center space was a big piece of quartz or a big piece of selenite, and then you had the eight spaces on there, like eight other crystals represented each of the eight other directions. Or spaces. And however you want to create hologram there, like however you want to create hologram, but think of that center space as a space where you can have a control panel. Now, this space is really important. It's a very important space. So whatever you do in the center space, the point of the center space is that it radiates out to all the other spaces. So if you're sitting there with your center space, you can listen to all of the spaces through the center space. Like, that is your place to listen and connect with the entire grid. And you can also affect the entire grid through the center space. So what if you were sitting there and you were having a hard week and you just took like the best, most beautiful rose quartz and just put it in the center space? That's a big deal. Yes. Question? Just this. And what if you worked with your center space by like taking some elixir, some beautiful elixir, and just putting some drops of the elixir around each point on the grid? What if you made these fine-tuned adjustments with everything else that you know how to use and work with? What if you used the grid to clear your whole space? What if you used the grid to like reset your whole space? What if you used the whole grid to welcome people who are coming over? What if you used the whole grid to like create a prayer through the whole space? What if you use the whole grid to just clear the land or ground the land? So this is your ceremony space right here in the center. You have a question?
When you've chosen your spots, your centers, and you might have gone over this a little bit, but is that when you lay a crystal down, lay a chosen rock down? And if it's outside, do you lay it on top of the ground and bury it?
Mm-hmm. Good question. So we were talking about either using a tree or a crystal or having a crystal in each space. So the reason I'm not giving too much specific information is because you have to listen to the space. Yeah. Oh my God, I had such a crazy experience the other day. This woman was like begging me to come out and grid her house and her land. And she is a medical intuitive. She's a medical intuitive. She's a Qigong master. She's like a medical Qigong master. I mean, she's like the most incredible. This person does distance phone healing, like the most incredible intuitive being ever. And she's asked me to come out and grid her land. And I was like, I'm going to do this because she's also a veterinarian. So I had her like treat my dog while I was walking around. You can see my priorities. And as soon as I pulled onto her land, just insanity, the beings that were speaking to me. I mean, just like angel, this being, that being, exactly what to do, exactly what to do. I mean, like, the beings on her land were just screaming. And it's like, she's sitting there pretending she needs me to come listen to those beings. Like, when they were, and she's the most incredibly intuitive person ever. It's like, she forgot this one thing was to listen to her land. At least Maria got the treatment, but it's like, if we skip that step all the time. You know, I feel like we skip that step all the time. It's like we're asking for help, and it's like right there. And I was like, Mona, it's like all you have to do is step outside and listen. It's all there. So please remember to listen. And then that's also just why I'm not giving too much information, like do this there and that there, because your land is absolutely a living being, and all the trees and all the rocks and everything are living. One thing I'll throw out there, just so if I don't remember to say this, one wonderful ally for me, and you might find it's a great ally for you, is Archangel Metatron, or the Ascended Master known as Metatron, who like his whole specialty is working in space. And he's an amazing being to ask for help, and you will see him, you know, come in and do things and create geometries and send vortexes through the space and open portals through the space, and it's just his jam. So it's like he loves to be asked for help for these kinds of things. All right. So you have your eight spaces. You have your center space. You're listening to the center space. You're learning to like be your own guide with your center space. Some people's houses, like who have been my students, like I walk into their house and they have the center space like right when you walk into the house. So it's like you can walk in and make a little adjustment or do something like on a shelf. And so if you're like, well, the center of my house is just like a stairwell or something, here's what you do. You find the center, the place in your house that is close enough to center but is actually really accessible, that you'll be able to walk through and connect with and maybe build a little shelf or put a little, you know, podium type thing there or something. So you get as close as you can to finding that center space. And then what you do is you find the actual center space, like the actual center spot. So, and that might be in the middle of a hallway or stairwell or someone really weird or in a garage or something. And all you do is you build a tiny little shelf, all you do is just get a little piece of wood from Lowe's or something. You get a little piece of copper and you wind the copper around the wood and you put a little nail in the wall and you create this little shelf and you put one crystal on that shelf and you point it towards your, what should I call it, convenient center. You know? So then you have the real center is anchored in, but it's also connected to this convenience center so that you can work in the convenience center. In fact, they're like, say, double terminated courts. So you have that one termination at the convenience center and one termination here back at the real center.
Why are they becoming more radar?
What?
Double terminated. They're very hard to find now.
I had not heard that they were becoming more rare. I don't know. Double terminated quartz is a lot about clear yang and power and that connection with the du mai, which is like shooting out energy. I don't know. That's interesting. I've never heard that. Okay, go ahead.
A workspace, and it isn't necessarily feasible to put a center right in the center of the space. Can the center be like a created a conceptual center rather than a physiological center?
Yes, you can just be like, or just be as flexible. I mean, if you really can't. I mean, another thing to do is get a crystal, one of those spherical crystals that hangs from the ceiling. And maybe that could be the center. So if you really can't work in the center space, yeah, just move off to where you can and call that the center. So also just know that the center is always represented by jade. So the stone jade is meant to be in the center. And jade represents home and completion. And so finding a piece of real jade is a fun little mission for you now. You find some real jade. And you don't have to get a big piece at all. But if you have a little piece in there in your center, you just anchored in like thousands and thousands of years of cultivated chi around that stone, which is like a lot of good fortune. There's a lot of good fortune around that stone. And jade represents this being that has become so consciously evolved and awakened that they actually became a king. And so a king is like, we think of king as like this royal bad ruler who like killed a bunch of people. But to the Chinese, king is like someone who became actually sovereign. Yeah, someone who actually became sovereign. So sovereign in the way that they actually started to realize and understand that they were God. So that kind of sovereignty, that kind of really holy sovereignty. And you know what happens when someone realizes that they are the God? First of all, they can create miracles, and that's exactly what we need right now to save our planet and go forward. But then they can incorporate gods. So once you realize that you are a God, you can start actually like working with gods, like God beings come into your body and work with you. And because they're like, oh, well, this person knows they're God now, so I can come in. See? Otherwise, they'd be like, well, they still have to figure out their God. So if you're like in a place of feeling like you know that you are the sovereign divine one, then these beings will start working with you more closely, right? Because they know they're not going to like take your power away because they know that you're in your power. And then another thing you can do that's really fun as a god is create more gods. So the definition of a god is that they create more gods. That's like a true god really creates more gods. So this jade stone represents that. It represents like a full awakening to your truth, the truth as yourself, as source God. And so that's a big deal. And so see how that represents coming home? Like that's home, knowing that there's nothing outside of the self. So you might have a little piece of jade in the center of your grid. And this class started at 8:45 and it's 9:45. Does anybody know when it ends? 10:15. Okay, so let's talk about, now that we have this grid set up, let's talk about like raising the consciousness field of the grid, because now we have this container, and so now we can start like working in the space and experimenting with the space, and all the energy isn't just going to like diffuse into everything. Here's the first thing to know is that your stones are sponges. They are absorbers. They are absolute sponges. So Stones are recording information all the time. I mean, if you think about a baby that's like such an empath that it's just picking everything up in the room, think about that with stones. I mean, it is like that level of sensitivity. So they're picking everything up. They're recording. They have been recording since the beginning of time. So they're the ones that hold all of the stories, hold all of the records. Your stones are also storing information. So they store it. They don't just record it and then like drop it. They record it and then they store it. So they're like library books. And stones also transmit information. So crystals also transmit information and amplify and direct it. We're kind of in the realm of silica, so yeah. So it's what I'm talking about is the properties of crystals, and silica is the, you know, what is happening in our computers is happening because of silica. What is happening in my watch is happening because of silica. So this isn't like a woo-woo thing. It's like this is what this material actually does. It absorbs, stores, and transmits. Now here's something really cool about this is that these stones are absorbing, storing, and transmitting in more than just the third dimension. So they are absorbing, storing, and transmitting in 4D, 5D, and higher. Do you know that they are, they're actually putting like volumes of information into rock crystals now? And they are saying, you know, one of the quotes from Wired magazine that I have on a slide is like, one small piece of quartz is an embarrassment for the average hard drive. So quartz stores so much more than anything that we have available. So it's like, because of the atomic structure, it just can store tons and tons and tons of information. So you know, the only thing that I think stores more information than quartz is DNA. They said that you can store something like all of the information that's ever happened in the universe, including every Beyonce record, every blah, 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 whatever, blah, in a gram of DNA. Yeah. That's amazing. Like what? And we have all that DNA in us, so we're basically like huge libraries ourselves. So anyway, your stones are receiving, absorbing, transmitting information in multiple dimensions. So let's talk about that. That means that high dimensional beings like angels, ascended masters, spirit guides, etc., all of that can work with your stones. They are working with the stones. So what they can do is they can put their energy into the stones. They can actually put their energy into the stones. Higher dimensional energy can be in the stones. So an angel, these beings, they can put themselves into the stones and the stones can be stored there. So another thing that stones can encode, so that's right there, that's big. So if you set up this grid and then you're like, well, I'd like to call the frequency of Kuan Yin to be held in this grid. Like that being can actually interact with those stones and that vibration can be held in high, like it, they interact with high dimensional beings. So when I'm in my ceremony space, grid space, I'm always working with higher dimensional beings, like just walking, in fact, walking clockwise around the grid and like speaking all the names of the beings that you want to be in there. You can carry incense around the grid. You can carry your sages around the grid. So you can invoke these beings to be into the stones with you. Obviously, lots of prayer and mantra. When we say a mantra, it's like the encodement of sound. It's like every person who's ever said that mantra and everything that has ever, the mantra itself has been recording information for that long. So if you say that mantra around the space, your stones are starting to record that and hold it. Another thing that is very, very important to use is music. Music is so important. So whatever level you are experimenting with music, I want you to bump it up quite a bit. The stones can actually absorb the music, and the music can be encoded with codes from higher dimensional beings. Yes, higher dimensional beings interact with music and encode it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That is how higher dimensional beings and frequencies get through to us, through sound. Yes. It's all of it. It's all of it. So all of your instruments that you actually play, all of your drums, all of your sound activations that you can do. If you don't have any sound activations that you do, I encourage you to get like your favorite bell you have ever seen, or your favorite singing bowl, or your favorite drum. Just get something that's easy so you can start to work with the encodement of sound through your own body. Just make it simple. So what happens is the higher dimensional beings will actually, go ahead. Oh, yes, thank you. Yeah, using the voice, so important. Singing, the stones love the singing. And the beings will definitely encode the voice. It's so crazy how these beings can work, that they can encode the voice with codes. And we found that we are finding that the beings will encode certain songs like weeks before. So they will charge a song for you. They'll charge a song with the codes that are specific to you. And then when you play the song, that's a way that they can unleash those codes into your world. So these beings are working with sound by charging them. And this has been like a very sacred training for me, that I've been learning about sound. And so I use sound and music a lot in my classes. And we always start with like a lot of like mantra, like raising the energy of the space with sound. So, I mean, I really encourage everybody to like get really into the music that they love the most and use that. Use it in a big way. And then we play this music. It is the most powerful medicine ever possible. I mean, talk about moving emotion. You just put on a song and people are crying and crying, and moving emotion is like huge. And then once they clear, often another song can come in and just encode. Encode, you know, because the beings have been working with it and charging the music for that specific time all along. And then everybody would be like, Sarah, I need the playlist from this weekend. And then I'm like, it's not just a playlist. It's something that was created specially for those moments. And to come into the music, it's actually a transmission. It's not just a playlist. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And when we're walking around and songs just come to us, it's not because we heard it. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Think about being a higher dimensional being in another realm and how you would get through to this realm. It's like, that's how they're working with us. So you're playing all these songs, you're putting these encodements, the stones are capturing it, you can ask the stones to hold it forever. Go ahead.
Oh, can I try on this wall? It seems like this. You can show
me. Of course, if you know how.
Yeah,
we're okay. Thank you. You had a question? Yeah, let's keep talking about that a little bit. You might want to start this whole process by invoking the violet flame. So the violet flame, it can be a great start because it's a purification flame, a purification ray. So if you set up a grid and you invoke the violet flame, and you can read about that online, how to invoke it and how to bring that in, then that can just clear anything that you're working with that is just, you know, whatever's in there that's just not necessary for your time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, like everything that we're talking about with the music, the incense, the sound, the sage, the love, the drum, like invocation of the beings, like all of that is raising this space, is really raising the space. Now, we can also, let's talk quickly about opening a portal in this space, and then we will talk about just some stone types. I just want to talk about like why would you use quartz over smoky quartz or et cetera, et cetera. So, opening a portal. Let's just open a portal together. Shall we do it? This is like, okay. It's just like, this is the way that I've been doing this, and it's something that we'll just experience it together, and this way you'll never forget it. So one way to open a portal is to imagine a star tetrahedron above us in this space. So a star tetrahedron is a three-dimensional Star of David. You see that? It's like the Pyramid of Giza, base to base with another Pyramid of Giza, and then they start to slide towards each other, forming a star. Now imagine that in the space above us. And feel just, you know, with your own imagination, your own consciousness, and your own body, how big that is. There's no right or wrong. Just feel how big it is showing up for you. And maybe it's half in the room and half out of the room. Maybe it's high, maybe it's low. Maybe it has a color. And now notice that I'm saying the word imagine. Imagine the star tetrahedron starting to spin in a clockwise direction. So here's the trick here. This is not a magic. This is not hard. All you do is imagine it spinning. Can you hold the visual of imagining it spinning? That's it. Now, I want you to like just experiment with something. Now, instead of imagining it, I want you to feel it with the heart. Let go of the imagination space and allow the feeling of the heart to suspend the spinning star tetrahedron. Now this is set it and forget it. So what happens when you let the heart ray hold it is it just happens. There's no effort. And now allow the heart ray to spin it faster. Ooh, that's good, you guys. Ooh. Allow the heart rate to spin it faster. So pure. It's so lubricated. It's spinning fast enough that now it's just looking like a sphere. And maybe you see white. Maybe you see some metallic colors. Maybe you see gold. Maybe you see green. And now allow the spinning sphere above the space to ground light from heaven to earth. It's effortless. So, this light from heaven to earth, this is reaching very far. You guys got a good thing going here. You can feel that light extending just infinitely. And allow that light to just hit right into the core of the earth. So safe, so solid, so stable there. And now you can say something like, you don't have to say this out loud, but this like portal is open. You can say, I would like love the presence of any beings of 100% love, light, and truth who would like to be in this space with us to use this portal as a way to make it to this space. You can put these beautiful protections on it. You can say, only beings of Christ consciousness frequency can use this portal. And now that we have this portal spinning in space, what would happen is that we would hold this for a little while. Like if we were starting a ceremony, we would hold this for a little while and we would say the mantras that we know. Like I start speaking some mantra into this, you know, charging, loading the portal. It's almost like watering a plant or like trimming a plant. You just like love on it. And then you can ask the portal how long you'd like it to stay open. Would you stay open for the end of the ceremony? And so you can also ask the portal, would you like to stay open until, you know, even beyond when we leave and just be in this space with this land? But if you do that, you want to ask the land if it is interested in having a portal open on the land. Once you open a portal space like this, like if you do this in your home, if you have a portal space that you are attending in your home, you accelerate very fast in your life. And that can, you know, come with shadow, because that can just, you know, things have to die and things have to fall down. But what will happen is, like, the acceleration will be very fast. And another thing that happens is, like, you can't hide anymore. So the stuff that you were just trying to, like, hide and not look at and put away will be probably found pretty easily by the portal space. If you live in a portal space, I mean, so you want to think about, like, living in a portal space. It can be very fast, and then the space can take on... Here's another thing I found about living in a portal space. The space itself takes on, like, it has its own needs and its own consciousness, so it invites certain people to the space. It will start making you have, like, breakfast parties if you didn't even want to have breakfast parties. You know, it has its own agenda that was, like, needs to be followed, because it's, like, a living entity. And so people that come into the space will be affected by the portal. And so all of this requires some maintenance, because we don't want to just open portals and then leave them, you know, not tended to. And it's not too much maintenance. It's just, like, imagining, like, keep asking the Christ consciousness ray to be there. But this is for real. When you set up a portal space, you will also start having dreams of the beings that are coming into your home. And while we're on portals, I just want to share, too, that if you guys have magical objects, like a very magical painting, or like a sacred work of art, or like a sacred, like, tribal pipe or something, and if you have any sense that the object itself is a portal, also some people are portals. There are people who are just portals, so that's a full-time job. Greta. Chelsea is a portal, too. Anyway, if you have something that you feel like is a magical object, is a portal, whether it's a stone or whatever, and you feel like you know something about it, and you're like, hey, like, I know you have something, but I can't really quite get you to work right, what you have to do is just change where it is. So if you take your sacred, powerful objects and move them until you find the place where the portal really opens. So if you have this picture that you love that is, like, so magical, but you don't feel like it's in 100% radiating, you have to, like, move the picture. Like, get these things in the right place. When they're in the right place, like, the portal, it's like making this alignment that just, like, all of a sudden it just shoots open if it's in the right place. Yeah.
Can anything get trapped in the portal? Like, it's not maintained right, something comes in and then it's trapped?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't want you to, like, fear your portals. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is, like, spend a little bit of time with love with them. In fact, sometimes I go for, like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks or something without even tending my portal. But just when I come back to it, it's still there and okay. It's kind of like a fish tank. Go ahead. I think, yeah, that sounds like you were just listening to your stones and they just needed that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, someone asked if, you know, when you're setting up these stones outside, should they be buried or should they be above ground? That's another thing about listening to the land and listening to the stones. There's no, like, answer. I always like my portal stuff, like, above ground. I like to see it. I like that interaction. But I've definitely been called to put things below ground, too. Oh my God, you guys, I built the best grid I've ever built in Shasta. I built the best grid I've ever built in my life. It was, like, taught me everything, and it was, like, seriously, it was, like, 4 pebbles. I mean, it's like, it was a double layer grid, so there was 2 pebbles under the earth, and then there was 4 pebbles and 1 sacred object on top of that, so there's, like, double layer, so you can, like, layer your grids. And, the medicine in that grid, oh my God. And it was like, it was where it was placed. It's like, so this is all quantum. It's not like about, like, it's just, you'll just keep growing in what you see. And then we were talking about, Lindsay, we were talking about your river and your stones. So Lindsay lives on a river that has, like, all these stones in it and moving water. Tell us about that.
Several times of
mm-hmm.
spaces and it's quiet
mm-hmm.
when you stand in it and listen.
Yeah. So she has water and stone. So she has the two biggest, like, memory things in the world, the two biggest, like, information conductors laying there right on top of each other. And I think you're feeling called to, like, participate in a helpful way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we were talking about, like, how, what would that look like? And what I'm feeling about something like that is for you to be, like, charging little crystals and just throwing them into the water.
Yeah.
Or you can make it, you can make elixirs, like ceremonial elixirs, and then also place those in the water. So I would use water a lot in your treatment space or with your family or whatever. So anytime you're engaging in, like, some kind of healing or high-frequency, like, situation, you can decide, like, does that energy need to go far and wide? And all you do is put it in the water.
Yeah, I was thinking a lot about that. He's on the way home because, so the water in the river is an elixir
mm-hmm.
in a sense, right? Because it's just, like, mm-hmm.
Yes. That's so great. Yeah.
Just so fortunate to
yeah.
be, you know, so
yeah.
Yeah.
So Lindsay is the best thing is you have to do nothing. So the fact that Lindsay is like she is divinitizing the space because she sees it as holy. So her body is divinitizing it just by seeing it as holy, and it is divinitizing you, and that is your work.
Yeah.
It's like you standing in the shower just being like, oh my God, I'm bathing this stone elixir, is like, you're done. So great. And like we all go to sleep a little bit easier knowing that you're with that river. Because it's part of why you came here. So thank you. Yeah. Go ahead.
So I live on the Columbia River. Mm-hmm. It is big and beautiful and dumb. River of Hanford and understood to be pretty toxic in a lot of ways. And so something that you between the two of you said, I'm wondering what can I do to that for that river? What can I give that river? What mm-hmm. do you have any insights mm-hmm. or thoughts about what might be detoxifying and cleansing mm-hmm. for that river that I
So you will get some shungite, shungite, you get some shungite and you start making a relationship with shungite. Shungite is a great, 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 great grandmother spirit. And start working with her and start taking the shungite and putting it in the river. And And if you don't want to put the shungite itself in the river, you make shungite elixir and put the elixir in the river. Okay, so we only have 7 minutes left and I just want to tell you a couple things. So if you're working with quartz, quartz is like the most open-ended, I am willing to do anything for you kind of stone. So it turns out to be the one that like intention is the most important. If you're using quartz, it's just like an open book with empty pages that's saying like, okay, well, you need to write like a children's book into me. And then whatever you write into that book will be amplified. So that's it. That's quartz. So if you're just working with quartz in your space, it's a great grid stone because then it's like whatever it is that you wanted to do or create is just totally assisted by that stone and helped. It harmonizes, amplifies, and directs chi, and it is just an open book. I mean, quartz is just, I mean, it can store every single thing on the internet inside it. So it's an open book. So you get to load it with your heart's desire. Now, if you work with smoky quartz, so that's the only thing about quartz is if you're going to work with quartz, I would make sure there's an intention with the quartz, and you talk to the quartz about what the intention. I wasn't just, like, put quartz out in the land and, like, have no intention, but I don't think you guys were going to do that anyway. Smoky quartz is a stone that is known to be very detoxifying. So smoky quartz would be a great stone to throw in a polluted river. Smoky quartz is clears electromagnetic frequency and pollution. It clears chaotic chi. So chaotic chi is like, think of it just exactly like a chaotic home. There's like everyone screaming and yelling and moving around. There's clothes thrown everywhere and the kitchen's a mess. I mean, just like the obvious chaos element can be cleared with smoky quartz. So it, because it just goes like this. That's like the energy of smoky quartz. So also if you think about if you have like mice or fleas or infestation or everybody has like pinworms or something, that's also chaotic chi. So that's a time for smoky quartz to pull that down. If you have like 100 animals in your home or you have like 10 foster cats, you would want to do smoky quartz grids. And if your land itself feels chaotic, like if you live by a highway or if you live by something like some cell tower or something that's just like, ooh, I just feel like that's like blasting my land, I would definitely put smoky quartz grids and protections around that. I mean, it's definitely the stone for like if you live on a highway or something. Go ahead.
How does rose quartz interact
differently than smoky quartz? So rose quartz is just like a big puppy dog licking your face. It's really all of the things that you have thought about rose quartz with love. It is grounded Shen. It is grounded love. It is the stone that invokes love. It's the stone that, one of the things about smoky quartz is like, it's so, this is the big deal for me about rose quartz is that it is so gentle and it is extremely powerful at the same time. I mean, for many years, I just thought of rose quartz, well, I'll just do that to like do something gentle. But it is means business. It means business too. So it can be profound heartstone. If you have heartbreak on your land or a land that has heartbreak or a family that has heartbreak, I want you to think about broken hearts. Like if there are broken hearts in that space, that's a time to be in rose quartz grids. And also just the promotion of opening the heart, which is the most important thing that we can do right now. Honestly, humanity has awakened and now the heart needs to flower. So like feeling the heart opening in the body. We have to awaken all centers. We have to awaken every chakra. Every chakra has to awaken. Our intuition center has to awaken. I mean, these all need to get huge. Our crown has to awaken. Our creativity has to awaken. They all have to get huge, but they have one check and balance, which is that none of them can get bigger than the heart chakra. If any of them get bigger than the heart chakra or advance beyond the heart chakra, the system topples. And the heart chakra has to be the biggest one again. So it's kind of saying that like everything in your system depends on the size of the heart chakra and the breadth and the openness of that. I think if you think about this a little deeply, you'll see like if somebody's like their power center gets like really big, the Divine Mother will just topple them back to make sure the heart center is the biggest thing. Or if the intuition gets really big, the Divine Mother just topple them back. The heart is the most important portal. Actually, do you know that it is the heart, it is the open heart that is going to kill the AI on this planet, which is the artificial intelligence, which is the the dark side, which is the shadow government, which is all of that stuff, the Morgellons, the chemtrails, all of the ways that they're trying to bring darkness to this world. That whole artificial intelligence, that whole whatever, that whole thing that we created so that we could have contrast and know ourselves as God, that whole thing has every chakra but a heart chakra. So what it would like would be to embody us. It wants to be our body because it wants to experience like sex and pleasure and aliveness and like what it is to be human. But it can't embody the heart chakra. It can't touch it. It's way too sacred. So the whole like thing about saving this planet right now is being in the heart. Okay, we talked about so selenite is a great stone for grid work. You could get some huge chunks of selenite. The ceremony space that we work in a lot has our shaman brings huge chunk of selenite with a huge chunk of rose quartz on it, with a huge chunk of amethyst on that, and then one pointy quartz crystal. So that is her grid, and each place in her room, so she has like huge Tupperwares of stones coming in everywhere that she goes. But like that is just an example of like a great grid set up for a ceremony space. Selenite is obviously going to pull a lot of light into the field. What we're going to find with selenite is going to really advance really greatly over the next decades, what selenite's able to do. So selenite pulls a lot of light into the field and is able to also like keep the field, think clean and light. Think clean and light, like an angelic kind of. I have to stop talking now because it's time to end. So what about just like a final question or two? Go ahead.
You can mix stones in your grid. Mm-hmm. You can mix stones depending on
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and I'm so glad you said that because the best way to learn is to set up something where you can like understand what's happening, like always. You know, like if you set up just a lapis lazuli grid, you have more of an understanding of what lapis lazuli does. So if you're interested in like learning, try to keep it more simple. But if you're interested in just following your intuition, like just do that.
And then if you're in a space like near your house, do you need if you're setting up the grid for the four corners of the house, or can you also set up a grid like on your altar?
Yes. Yes. And a grid is a prayer, you guys. A grid is a prayer. So if you set up an altar grid for like your friend who has cancer and you want to heal them, I mean, you just set up the grid and then you anchor the prayer into the grid and then it's a crock pot. It's set it and forget it. So now this prayer is just held in the grid. Isn't that great? Thank you, stones. Go ahead.
Is there a particular practice for dismantling?
No. Not really. I would just like listen and connect and whatever you feel like needs to happen in your closing ritual. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you recommend any books that we could get for further information on this subject?
Oh, I have a website. All of this gridding stuff is, so all of the information on my website is about Taoist stone medicine. And it's claritystonemedicine.com. And all of this stuff about grid and raising the consciousness field of land is not really online yet. Still to learn from both of us if you want. And any final questions? Yes. Yeah, I can help you with that. So rose quartz would be like an assistant to a rhodochrosite. Rhodochrosite is rhodochrosite. Rhodochrosite. And I'm interested in all of you guys letting yourselves off the hook about trying to fix people and just getting really bananas crazy fun about the space that you're creating. And I love you all. I'll see you next time. Okay.